Welcome to the KP Podcast, where we talk about the business of real estate, a podcast about leveraging opportunities, growing your business, and experiencing financial freedom. Here are your hosts, Keith Anderson and Peter Kamboukos.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the KP Podcast. This is Pete. I'm sitting here with Keith, and it's good to be back. And as we're talking today,
Here it comes.
Yeah, you're right. It's coming.
Here it comes.
I just want to start off by saying on last year's prediction show, I made a prediction, a football prediction, that Russell Wilson would be traded to the Denver Broncos. Now, I might be a little bit late, but I just want to say my prediction came true.
Pete, if you ain't first, you're last. That's just the way that it is. It doesn't matter. You know what? The world is going to end at some point. I'm going to be correct eventually. That doesn't mean that I had a good prediction.
I was a little late.
Guess what? Not much.
A little bit. So, but what I think the audience wants to know too is, how'd it go last night? Was there tears? Did Anna need to console you? You know, were you curled up on the couch? I mean, how did it go?
So those of you guys that don't know what breakup. Pete's referencing, he's referencing the removal of Russell Wilson from a Seahawks franchise that's been lasting over a decade. And
your beloved Seahawks.
Yeah, one of the most winning QBs in a decade of football. And he got traded to the Denver Broncos a couple days ago. And I'm cool with it. Cool with it. Wasn't full of tears. In fact, I have had probably 20, 30 text messages from different people.
I'm sure, yeah.
Because they know how big of a Seahawk fan I am. But all my fellow Seahawk fans out there have been hurting. They've been hurting. They've been worried. And the Reddit page, the Seahawks Reddit page, has been getting blown up bad. You know, looking at a tank year. Everybody's talking about that. And you know what? I'm standing behind Pete and John. It's a rebuild time. I've been believing in this. Well, I'm the only one holding the faith. So stand strong out there, Seahawks fans. And Arizona Cardinals, maybe you should come behind what we did and go trade your boy Kyler.
It's your turn too. I'm feeling the Jets are going to have a better record than the Seahawks this year. All right, but let's move on and talking to some.
Oh, my goodness.
Let's go talk about some stuff today. So getting past that. So what we want to talk about today is, you know, setting up your business and how to maximize the business that you're already doing, and talking specifically about one strategy. That's the word I'm looking for there. And that is vertical integration in your business.
Oh, okay? My goodness. Vertical integration.
Yeah. So sounds like, you know, some, I don't know, fancy thing you're going to learn at some school, but it's really a lot simpler than that. And it's been around for a very long time.
Right? Let me help explain it to you, you know, kind of on layman's terms, if you can. If you're taking whatever business you're in, you know, we teach a lot about tunnel vision and really focusing on just hitting the ground running, go one direction, laser focus, kill your business, go nuts, right? That is all fine and dandy until you hit a certain point in your business where, you know, the law of diminishing returns comes in and the efforts it would require you to double, triple, or quadruple your business size may cost more, take more time, be more difficult than leveraging the business you've already created. And that's something we're going to talk about today is, how do you help support the growth of the company? Because if your vision is still to grow your original business, sometimes by coming around the sides of your business and supporting the key functions around it, it gives you the ammunition you need to then double and triple your original business that much easier. But without vertical integration, sometimes that journey can be very difficult.
Yeah. And I would say also, you know, another way that we always look at it along those same lines is whenever we're talking about investments, right? One of the very basic goals that we have is to have each dollar do more than one thing, okay? Because that's how you're going to get these outsized returns or use the leverage to the best of your advantage. That's why, you know, in podcast past, guys, if you want to go listen to the one we've done on the infinite banking concept and having your dollars do multiple things, the same dollar working for
one
multiple
transaction,
times.
Multiple items.
Yep. So same thing, same concept here when we're talking about this with your business. Have if you're going to have a transaction in your real estate business that can generate several streams of income and have several profit centers as opposed to just that one real estate commission portion of it. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. So let's talk about just real briefly, make sure everybody's on the same page about what we're talking about, what vertical integration is. So traditionally, if we think about, you know, kind of manufacturing would be like the easiest way to to think about it in you know, times past. So I think everybody can kind of get this picture in their head of you've got a factory, right? Let's say they're making tires, right? So you've got this factory that's making tires for cars. Well, part of that process is, you know, you're going to need the rubber that's input, and that rubber needs to get to your factory, and that rubber was grown somewhere. And then there's a process where you're turning that rubber into what you need for the tire. And then you're actually making the tire, and then you're distributing the tires out to places that are selling them, et cetera. So what vertical integration is, if you own this factory,
we'll call it Pete's Tire Co.
Pete's Tire Co. owns this factory and I'm making tires. Vertical integration is, rather than just having this factory and getting the raw materials, putting them together and making the tire and then shipping them off.
Yeah.
Now I'm looking to take control over some of these other aspects here. Rather than outsourcing that stuff to other suppliers or vendors, I might be the one that starts controlling the trains or the trucks that's bringing it to my factory.
You start a shipping company.
Correct.
Alongside it.
I might go out straight to the production facilities and the farms where we're getting, you know, some of the raw materials that's going to go into the rubber. Exactly. Might be looking at the oil on the other side all the way to after it's done. I might be looking at opening my own stores rather than sending it to, you know, Big O Tires or Discount Tires or something. What if it's
Big Pete's Tires?
Big Pete's Tires. You know what I mean? So now I've got the other side. So you see, it's all these services that are attached to something I'm already doing, right? I'm creating these tires, and the offshoot of this is there's all these other processes that are going into it.
So the creation of one tire results in multiple companies doing multiple tasks that like ends up getting that tire somewhere. So the conversation we're having today is, if generating the tire is inevitable for your business, what can you leverage along the way? Look at it as such, like maybe a good example is, think of like bowling, for instance. It's when you have one pin left and you're just trying to knock one pin at a time, that's one point. But when you have all the pins lined up, the same throw can take out all of them all at once. Like that's the difference, right? You're not trying to hit one bowling pin at a time. You're trying to take as many as you can with only the effort of one throw. And this is something really to think about in business, is what are the bowling pins in your business? Okay. Think about that. And you're going to still have the same throw every time, but stop trying to hit one pin. Think of how many you can hit if you put them all together and you leverage them against each other. So one of the things we're going to talk about today, specifically, since, you know, our main focus with this podcast is real estate, what we want to talk about is, if doing a real estate transaction is inevitable, and we're mainly talking to business owners and higher level, you know, business strategies. We own a big real estate team. And how can you leverage that transaction or those transactions that are going to happen there regardless,
right,
to make twice the money, three times the money, and then support all the businesses all at the same time.
And at the same time, you're diversifying, you're stabilizing income streams. And if you've got different things that are, you know, slowing down at one point, other things are picking up. Because, you know, if we're using our example with the tire, well, if we have that trucking company that's bringing us tire, what's to say that we're not able to ship for someone else?
Yeah.
And we're not able to, you know, do different things at that point if it makes sense to do that. And so, yeah, this is obviously something that's been around for a very long time. It's in a lot of industries. You know, I mean, you can go back 100 years, you know, staying with that tire example. I mean, Ford, the motor company, when Henry Ford started it, you know, he was making these cars. But think about it. Originally, he was getting the engines from somewhere else. Then he was getting the metal from somewhere else. Then he was getting the tires we talked about from somewhere else and stuff like that. And over time, he started taking control of these processes. You know, he started getting his own steel factories and his own tire factories, and he started producing his own engines. And then he started controlling the shipments that were coming in, on and on and on, all the way up to modern examples. And let's just take it right to the real estate world, something that I think most people are familiar with, which is home builders. You know, so let's look at the biggest home builders in this country and look at what they're doing and how they're vertically integrating. And I think that gives you a perfect example of what we're talking about here, right? So if you go right now into a new construction community with one of the, you know, say 10 biggest home builders in America. Let's say somebody like a Lennar who's huge, yeah. right? You go in there and you're looking at these homes and you go, okay, Keith, this is the one I'm going to sign on. You're going to sign on this home. They say, that's great. They've got their sales team there and they're building you the house. And then what do they say to you? They go, well, we've got an incentive if you go get pre-qualified with our mortgage company. Mm-hmm. And when
we're
going
to force you to use our title company.
Yep. And then we're going to do title with our title company. And oh, by the way, while you're going through that, we've got our insurance company and they'll be able to help you get insurance because guess what, Keith? They specialize with these new builds. And so you'll get these fantastic rates and everything right there. And you know what? We've also got this home warranty company.
It's already packaged up already with a nice little bow on it.
That's already there. So here they have turned the one transaction of selling that house and they've tied in four or five other businesses.
And what's crazy is originally thinking that their main process was just building that house. Mm-hmm. But they might quadruple the amount of income from the other ancillary services that they vertically integrated mm-hmm. than even from their original transaction. And they may come to find that in depending on the market and the standards and where they're at, some of those companies might make way more than the others and vice versa. But it, like we said, it stabilizes. So one key factor that I would recommend looking at when you're starting to think, well, is vertical integration good enough for me? Am I at a place that I can vertically integrate in some form or fashion? If what you're doing right now in your current business is helping establish another business in a certain capacity, for instance, if you're using the Ford example like we talked about, they put other businesses in operation because mm-hmm. they needed those parts. So regardless, like Ford needed lug nuts, for instance. Mm-hmm. They needed every single part in that engine. Well, before Ford, those items probably weren't as necessary and they didn't have massive companies. Right. So now this other company can come in and say, wow, we have this huge supply chain right here with Ford. They need all these things. We can manufacture and make money. Well, Ford will then go and look at like, wow, because of us, this business is running. Like without our desire and, you know, full demand for these parts, this company wouldn't be going. So that's the conversation that it has to go through your head. Like for real estate, if you're doing hundreds of transactions, you might be able to single-handedly support a small title office, a small mortgage company, or a few lenders. Like you're looking at it like, wow, just from our business alone, mm-hmm. we might make up 60% or more of this company. And that's the beauty of vertical integration is that means you get to hit the ground running full speed into something with already doing what you're already doing. Like it's not going to change much.
Yeah. And the other part of it, like we said, is, you know, it helps streamline your process and stabilize your business as well. So if you've got these other services and they're all working, you know, independently and hopefully, you know, by this point you've set up some good partnerships and you guys are working well together, but you could take it another step by saying, okay, well, if, you know, these are services that we own or we're partners in at the very least, then we have a more streamlined process at this point because everybody is on the same page, under the same umbrella, if you will, and working together. That helps streamline this process, make sure there's no delays, there's no misunderstandings, everybody knows what's going on. And like we said, helps kind of stabilize things rather than just relying on one source. If you've now got multiple sources and it really doesn't change mm-hmm. your daily activities, because that's the whole point. Like we're talking about, you're doing this stuff anyways. You know, you might as well start looking at how else you can maximize this stuff with you.
So let's take a really snapshot at the real estate market. And if you're in real estate, great. It's going to be a ton of, you know, dissected information right here for you. But if whatever business you're in, do the same thing we're about to do. Take your business, start making a list of all of the different things you need to run your company or that you provide as business to other companies and so forth. So if we're looking at the real estate market, we got one transaction. The real estate transaction's happening regardless, mm-hmm. correct? This is what we're doing. We already got one. What are, just, you know, I know we named a couple of them, but let's go through a few so that you can kind of see how deep vertical integration can go. What are a couple of these businesses that we know right off the gates can be impacted and how deep can this thing go?
You can go really deep. You can talk about the ones that are necessary. Okay. So every time, and we'll use Arizona here as an example, because I know some places are attorney states, for example, and things like that. But every time we've got the real estate transaction, right, we've got the real estate brokerages that are involved,
okay,
teams, agents, whatever.
Yep. So that's the hub.
That's the main one. But then off of that, you've got title company that's going to be necessary.
They hold escrow. Some companies are in some states. Title and escrow are different companies. Mm-hmm. So consider that as well. Here in Arizona, they're all pretty much joint, but there are a lot of states that those are two different companies.
So another one is going to be financing, you know, at least 75% of the time. I know right now we're running some high cash ones, but assuming, you know, if they're getting a mortgage, you've got a mortgage company.
And you got both private lending and more of the government lending as well, the traditional financing through banks and through mortgage. So there's multiple facets of those businesses as well.
Yep. Insurance.
Insurance.
Regardless of how they're buying it, they're going to need insurance.
If you have a loan on your house.
Or even if you don't, you'd be pretty crazy not to have insurance.
$500,000 house. I'm not worried about a fire. Yeah. I'm not worried about making a mistake for, you know, a couple hundred bucks or what it is a year. So the key thing to think about is now you have insurance on every single file.
Yep. And again, same thing, you should be getting a home warranty, at least at the very beginning for your clients.
Because it's not going to do the same thing that you have in for insurance, right?
It's more
appliances and general maintenance of the house, like things like that, but you still need that. And so there are massively profitable companies out there that just do home warranty. Like that's their focus.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then you could keep going down the line where you go, okay, those are the necessary
ones. So that's what, like first degree probably?
First degree. And then second degree, you have, and we see brokerages and teams that have this stuff, there could be maintenance services.
Yeah.
You know, stuff comes up where during transaction, but afterwards, these homeowners who own a home now, either they're selling it or they're buying it, those homes require maintenance. So they have maintenance services, HVAC services that go along with that. You know, you've got closing gifts or other events.
Yeah.
And some people you've got that own event centers and, you know, they own companies that give, you know, that produce gifts.
Company.
I was going to say knives and other things like that. And so, you know, again, we're talking about as we're getting a little bit further away from the transactions, but you guys get the point, I think, where you can look as to how many businesses are coming off of, like, as you said, main hub.
You get into property management, you start property your investment companies,
correct.
And then now you started property management. So now you need to hire cleaners and landscapers. Oh, wait, I can start a cleaner company, a landscaping company, carpet company, roofing company.
If anybody out there has got that cleaning company right now for these short-term rentals,
gracious.
My goodness.
Yeah,
you guys are
short-term
you guys are
rental property management.
Yeah.
Like it just doesn't end. And so the key is don't always be stuck, just kind of in your rut, continue to grind against the wall, because what ends up happening is you'll hit a place and you'll plateau in your business and it'll wear you down. You need to start thinking outside the box. How can I support my initial business in more than one way? And adding some of these vertical integrations can then liven your business with more control in other areas, maybe can add a huge amount of cash flow back into your original business. And now you can leverage both of those ships to help grow the bigger picture.
It becomes more stable, right? You're adding more legs to that stool, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk, Keith, before we move too far or finish with them, is what, let's say somebody's not at this point where they're doing, you know, hundreds of transactions a year and they go, well, that's nice, Keith, but I can't start, you know, my own mortgage company or title company or whatever. How do I get started? Right.
So and so leverage.
Correct. And so that goes back to what we were talking about there, right? You should have partnerships even when you're getting started small so that you guys are working well together and working hand in hand. This might be opportunity to find, are those partners that you're currently using, your vendors, if you will, is this someone that you can partner with? Okay. Because meaning, okay, if I can't go and start something right now, full integration, can I work out partnerships with these people, profit sharing, things where we both end up with skin in the game so that it does help stabilize that as you're growing? Okay, so that's one way to start. And I would say that the next important thing is once you get to that next stage, you know, and you're looking at doing those things, right? You're not an expert in everything.
No.
We're certainly not experts in everything. So we've talked about find people that are experts in those areas.
And put them in play.
And put them in place and give those people skin in the game, right?
So to kind of give you a good an outlook of it, start with referral fees, kickbacks, promotional stuff.
Legal stuff.
Yes. Yeah, correct. We're not specifically talking about the real estate world. We're talking, you know, for closing gifts. Like there's a lot of sales companies that will be like, thank you so much for this referral for a closing gift that's not real estate related whatsoever. that stuff's completely cool. Obviously, with government, you know, entities, there are a lot more regulations. So just make sure you check the legal ramifications of anything that you do. Specifically in real estate, we don't get referrals for any of that stuff. So you have to change, you know, your direction on things, and you get those referrals from outside companies that are like Cutco and things like that for sending clients after the closing. Security systems, they do it all the time. Didn't even talk about security systems. But like those are outside ones where they are private entities. They have sales referrals that they send to people that are going to refer them business. That doesn't mean they're going to close or use them, but those are opportunities. So start with that kickback referral type mentality, then work up to, okay, how can we build more of a long-term partnership? Maybe it's a monthly, a more streamlined, better system or process. Then you can work from that revenue share or profit share type model into more like a JV model that you've heard a lot, a joint venture. Like, don't become full owners, because again, it still might be 2 or 3 degrees out, but maybe you can become a 25% owner, 20% owner of something, or truly run a joint venture with somebody and work together to build a bigger business. Then you can get into really those big leagues where you start to truly own big companies and take yourself and remove yourself from a lot of those other entities.
Yeah. And I think a big key to remember with all of this stuff, guys, is that, like we've talked about here, you know, this helps with the efficiencies. And because, you know, you've now stepped into that role or removed someone from that process, you might be in more of a position to not only help your, obviously your company make money, but you might be able to give more money to the people working at that company, your own agents.
Yeah.
Maybe it helps your clients, because remember, if there's no value here, it's not going to work. So the whole point of this is not only are you becoming more efficient and more stable, but you're creating more value. And so it helps all the way up and down that line. So definitely think about that, because the more, you know, streamlined you can get everything and efficient you can get everything, the more that you can help all the way up and down that line.
I think I want to touch one more thing on something you had just said is a couple minutes back, was find people that are in that space. I can't stress that enough. Like, that's something we have to focus on. Don't try and do everything yourself.
Yeah.
You're never going to be the best at everything. It's impossible. You're going to probably be really good at one thing, your original thing. That's the reason you started that business. But if you're really, really good at making tires, don't think you're going to be the best at finding oil. That's not the thing that you're going to be good at. So go find an expert. Go find the person that's going to be there and partner with them and do something bigger. Humble yourself in your place and say, together we can accomplish way more than me trying to be the boss of everybody. Right. And I think that's really important, is when you all win together, y'all win. That's the key thing. But if you are trying to win alone, you will lose more often than not, just by, you know, going through that process. So when you start those partnerships and you start to build that bigger stage of your business, go find key players, awesome individuals that can grow with you and build something awesome together.
Yep. I think that's good. So yeah, this is a different way, Keith, a little bit different view to look at it as you guys are building, growing, and expanding. And hopefully, you know, you guys can use that and take a little something from it.
Yeah, feel free to reach out to us, guys. Like, we've been through this process. I mean, we're always throughout vertical integration. We've been working on a lot of things like this as we built our real estate team here. We'd love to help you with yours. If you're building a team and you're looking at those next steps, trying to figure out, where do I take that next launch? Where should be my first impactful vertical integration? Reach out to us. We'd love to talk to you. Again, send all questions to questions@kpeliteaz.com. We'll jump on a call with you. We'll chat about it. We'd love to just hear more about your business and continue to help everybody grow. Awesome, guys. Thanks for hanging out with us this week. Go Hawks. Russell or not, regardless, go Hawks, baby. They will have more wins than the Jets this next year.
Definitely not. All right, guys. We'll see you.